Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It'll be a few moments of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and no manipulation because we don't play games. We say that every Sunday. We don't play games. We don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to recruit you to join anything. The only thing this show has to offer you is accurate information. No human speculation, but accurate information based on the canon of Scripture or the Word of God. If you listen, I can assure you of one thing. I will give you enough information so that you can verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if you wish to orient and adjust to the plan, you have the freedom, you have the privacy to do whatever you want to do because it's your own life. You are responsible for your own decisions. And therefore, you listen, you learn, and hopefully you apply. I do appreciate your prayers, your encouragement. When I hear from you, it's always a blessing to get letters and to get emails that come through our website, rickhughesministries.org. That's our website, rickhughesministries.org. And you can also access us on your cell phone by just typing in your cell phone search engine, rickhughesministries.org. There we have a complete mobile site. You can listen to any radio show from your cell phone, or you can listen to the radio shows by the internet, or you can call and request the radio shows, and we will send you an MP3 disc with many, many shows on each disc. That's really up to you. Or you may want to access some of the books that we've written, the books that we offer, which are free. You can see all of those on our website, rickhughesministries.org. We don't sell anything because we know and we believe that if God is in it, He pays for it. So we don't have to try to hustle up the money. So you may remember, if you were listening last week, if not, you might be in for a bit of a shock today. But last week, we took a brief look at what the Bible describes as hell. You know, I know that you may wonder about hell. You may have even told some people to go there from time to time, but we're not talking about being mean or nasty to people. This is the literal place called hell. And I want to go back to that subject and take another brief look at it before we leave it. It is one of the most important subjects in the Bible for us to study, for us to understand why was it created, and who will be there, and how do we avoid going there. Remember what we talked about last week, which was the difference between hell, or what Jesus called Gehenna, and the place where unbelievers will eventually be destroyed after the great white throne of judgment. So hell, or Gehenna, is a place where unbelievers, people who have not believed that Jesus is the anointed Son of God, is where they await the great white throne of judgment. And after the great white throne of judgment, the Bible clearly says, as we will see, that they are cast into the lake of fire. And thus, I want you to understand something right off the bat today. The Bible talks about two birthdays and two deaths. So let's look at the first one. The first birth is a physical birth. Everybody is physically born. You wouldn't be here today if you were not born by means of a man and a woman copulating together, and you were created, you were born, here you are. The grace of God provided soul life to you, and you were born a human being with a soul, and you have a spirit which is dead spiritually. That human spirit died when the minute Adam's original sin was imputed to you. That's why the Bible says, for by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death has passed on all. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. We are all spiritually dead. Thus, instead of having a relationship with God who is a spirit, we are spiritually dead. We are physically alive, and we do have a soul which is immortal, but we are not spiritually alive. So we know, first of all, the Bible says we have to be born physically. In Job 14:1, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And this is pretty predictive of what we can do when we use our volition to make bad decisions. Remember that God gave each of us a volition, and the volition is the chooser, the decider, and we can decide for or against the plan of God. We can decide to live by human viewpoint, or we can decide to live by divine viewpoint. We can decide that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God and believe in what he did on the cross, or we can reject Jesus Christ and believe that we ourselves could be capable of satisfying the justice of God, when in fact the Bible says that's not possible. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 3, the Bible goes on to say, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. Birthdays are very important days for some people until they get older. Then they don't really like to talk about those birthdays. But the 16th birthday, the 21st birthday, you know, you can legally drive, legally drink. And what birthday do you celebrate? If you're a member of a social media website called Facebook, as we are, we have a Facebook page called Rick Hughes Ministries on Facebook. Somebody has a birthday, they send it out to you. This is so-and-so's birthday. Why don't you write them a thank you note or a happy birthday note? Birthdays are incredibly important. 1 and 2 year old birthdays, lots of money spent on parties for little children, and mamas and daddies love having parties for their little babies. But that birthday is not the most important one. That's the physical birthday. The second birthday, that's the one that determines your eternal destiny. In 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by means of the word of God which lives and abides forever. Our second birthday comes through Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, who's called the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, speaking of the second birthday, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And then in John 3:3, in regards to Nicodemus, the Pharisee who snuck in at night to ask Jesus a question, this is what our Lord said to him. Quoting now John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we have identified the fact there are two birthdays, a physical birthday which you had nothing to do with, and a spiritual birthday which you have everything to do with. The spiritual birthday is you making a decision to believe in Jesus Christ and to receive him as your Savior. That is your choice. The physical birthday, you had nothing to do with it. You just showed up and the doctor said it's a boy or it's a girl. And that was it. But now the Bible also speaks of two different deaths. In Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. So we know that since we are born physically, we must die physically. There is no way that this body, the one that you and I live in today, there's no way that it will operate in heaven. Heaven is not like earth. And so we must have a new body if we're going to heaven. And there is something in the Bible called the resurrection body. This is the body like the body of Christ that believers get at the resurrection. And we will live forever in that resurrection body. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and then after this, the judgment. You don't really need me to verify the reality of death from the scriptures. I mean, I could give you other passages, but you see it every day. You see funerals every day. You see people that you know pass away every day. Just this month, some of my dear friends down in Albany, Georgia, have gone to be face to face with the Lord. But I can verify the second death. The second death in Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so the principle in Revelation 20, 14, and then later in Revelation 21, is that the lake of fire is designed for unbelievers. Now, I want to take my Bible and go to this passage for you just for a moment, because we talked about it last week also. And I want to give it to you one more time. So give me just a moment to get over to this passage. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw a great white throne. This is verse 11. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now let me remind you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not be here. You have already been judged in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 at the judgment seat of Christ. You've already gone to heaven. The moment you died, you instantly went to heaven. This is not a judgment for you. If you did not believe in Jesus Christ and have not received him as your Savior, this is your judgment. This is where you will be. And this will be your opportunity to try and satisfy the justice of God by means of your own production. So it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books, and that's a plural, the books were opened, and then another, now a singular, a book was opened. It's the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their production or their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And this is where I'm going to tell you, you don't stay in hell forever. You go from hell to the lake of fire. A lot of people say when you die, you stay in hell forever. That's not true. Hell is a holding place, and you will see what it's like in a moment. I'll describe it to you. But this is much worse than hell. This is eternal burning in a lake of fire. Put your hand over a hot fire and get burnt, and you'll know what I'm talking about. This fire you will never extinguish. This fire will burn forever and forever, and you will feel the pain forever and forever. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their production. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now listen to the next verse. Whoever was not found written in the book of life, the singular, was cast into the lake of fire. The book of life, your name is written in the book of life when you're born. If you die without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, your name is blotted out and you have died the first death. It's an amazing thing about Christians. We're not said to be dead. We're said to be asleep in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. You die without Christ, your name is blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. And so here you are at the great white throne of judgment. And here you stand. And now your name is called out. And the angel says, all right, Heavenly Father, Joe Blow is not here. And Joe says, wait a minute. I was a member of so-and-so church, and I tithed every week, and I never drank, and I never smoked, and I never did any bad thing. I never fornicated or cheated on my wife or cheated on my taxes. What do you mean I'm not going to heaven? Well, his name is not in the book of life. He died without believing in Christ. He died the first death. And then the books are opened, plural. Okay, let's see, what has he done? Okay, does your righteousness equal the righteousness of God? Unfortunately, the Bible says there are none that are righteous. No, not even one, because all of our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. And so as the books are opened, yes, every good deed you ever did is recorded. But there beside it is that one blot, sin, born into sin, never born again. Not every sin that you did is recorded. Not every sin that you did is going to be shown on a movie projector for people to see. Do you not realize that Christ paid for your sins? Do you not realize that he bought your ticket and you never accepted it? That he who knew no sin was made sin for us? He was made sin for everybody, even the people that didn't accept the gift. He paid for your sin. That's why he went to the cross. And you never took the ticket. And now here you are at the great white throne, trying to rationalize with God why your righteousness is equivalent to his righteousness. And the problem is, you're born into sin. You are a sinner. For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and death is passed on all. Listen, Jesus Christ was not born like that. He was born sinless. He didn't have an earthly father. He didn't have the imputation of Adam's original sin. And during his life, he never sinned. Thus, he was the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, that takes away the sin of the world. That's how qualified Christ was. You, even one sin, or two, or three, then the justice of God could not allow you to come to heaven. God cannot compromise his holiness, even with one little lie, because he is perfect righteousness. And so the Bible gives us a warning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 7:21-23. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, then you have to do the will of the Father, which is in heaven. In John 6, Jesus said, this is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom he hath sent. Jesus said, this is the will of God. Believe in me. God the Father testified twice in the scripture in an audible voice, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John wrote in 1 John 5, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is what is so simple. It's not something that you have to do to be saved. It's already been done. It's the free gift you receive. That's why the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone would brag about it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name have I not cast out demons? In your name I've done many wonderful works. And he said, I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In Matthew 8, verses 5 through 10, we find our Lord marveling at the faith of a Gentile. This particular Gentile was a Roman centurion who had been very kind to the Jews of Capernaum. And he had a servant back home who was very sick with palsy. And by the way, palsy is a medical term that refers to various types of paralysis, like Bell's palsy or cerebral palsy. You know what I'm talking about. So this centurion asked Jesus if he would heal his servant. And he recognized that he didn't have to come home with him to do it, since he understood authority. And he knew that he could tell his men to do something and they would do it. And he knew Jesus had authority over sickness. So he knew that all the Lord Jesus Christ had to do was say the word, and his servant that he loved would be healed. And he was. Our Lord testifies about this faith in Matthew 8:10, when he says these words, "I have not found such great faith in all of Israel." You see, the Jewish Pharisees who rejected Jesus Christ and rejected his message, they were shocked to learn that their relationship to Abraham was not enough to get him to heaven. A racial Jew is not going to heaven because he's a member of the race. Only regenerate people go to heaven, Jew or Gentile. Regenerate means you have been regenerated, or you have been born again, or you have believed in Jesus Christ. In Matthew 8:11, our Lord informs these Jews that questioned him and challenged him that Gentiles would one day sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the kingdom celebration, while the unbelieving Jews will be cast into outer darkness. And this is speaking of hell. Listen to the words, Matthew 8:12. The sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a description of hell, or as our Lord called it, Gehenna. But it's not the lake of fire. Cast out. This means they will be expelled or driven out into darkness. In the Greek word skotas, it's a place of torments. It's a place of hopelessness. It's a place with endless nights, uncontrolled weeping, and intense anger. Imagine this. Imagine being in a room that is totally, totally dark. And imagine wanting to just, does anybody have a light? Does anybody have a match? Does anyone have a flashlight? Does anyone have some sort of light? No, there's no light. All you can do is hear people weeping, crying, moaning, and people that have intense anger. The Bible says gnashing of teeth. That's angry, that's swearing and cursing and ranting and raving that they are there, that they did this. Why am I here? What? I don't deserve this. No, nobody deserves it. That's why God sent his son to die for you, to pay for your sins. But God is perfect righteousness. And if the righteousness of God rejects your good works, then the justice of God will condemn you to hell and the lake of fire. That is not God's plan for you. That is not what he wants for you. That is what you will bring on yourself by rejecting Jesus Christ as God's anointed son. And these people with intense anger that are cursing God, cursing one another, yelling across the room, "Shut up, be quiet." People are crying and it's dark and it's intense heat. That's the word for hell. The lake of fire, on the other hand, is a totally different place. It was designed for Satan and the fallen angels, whom are called demons. And secondly, it is an eternal burning that cannot ever be quenched. But it could be avoided if you simply will adjust to the justice of God and don't force the justice of God to adjust to you. This is exactly why Jesus Christ died for you, to spare you the horrible destiny of Satan and the fallen angels. And this is exactly why Satan fights the Lord Jesus Christ with so much energy. He does not want to go to the lake of fire. But he has been tried, he has been condemned, and he has been sentenced. But he has appealed. And that's why you and I are here today. We're part of the appeal trial. If you're an attorney, you'll know what I mean. You're part of the appeal trial. We are the witnesses called to the witness stand, believers in Jesus Christ. And any time anyone accepts Christ as Savior, that's another witness for God. Satan doesn't want to go to the lake of fire, but he's going because the Bible says so. But if he's got to go, he'll sure try to take you with him. Thus, he will do anything he can to get you not to believe in Jesus Christ, to get you to reject the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as the chief priest of the good things that are now here. Christ went through a better, more perfect tent that was not made by human hands and that is not part of the created world. He used his own blood, not the blood of goats and bulls, for the sacrifice. He went into the most holy place and offered this sacrifice once for all to free us forever. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of cows sprinkled on unclean people made their bodies holy and clean. But the blood of Christ, who had no defect, does even more. Through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself to God, and he cleansed our conscience from the useless things we had done. And now we can serve the living God. Because Christ offered himself to God, he is able now to bring a new promise from God, that through his death he paid the price to set people free from the sins they committed under the first promise. And he did this so that those who are called can be guaranteed an inheritance that will last forever. That inheritance is heaven. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. It is for you, the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, heart hath never known, the amazing things that God has for you. It is your choice. Heaven, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hell and the lake of fire, reject him, and you will cause the justice of God to judge you. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.